And I'm Eric Allen here with you on KLCC during Fresh Air. We have a special guest in the studios this afternoon. After touring with their music for over two decades now, Dar Williams has definitely developed unique perspectives on community as well as music. That's reflected in her new book called What I Found in a Thousand Towns, which takes a close look at what makes communities thrive. She's touring behind the book, integrating reading and music, and she'll appear tonight at Tsunami Books in Eugene. She is here with us live in the KLCC studios. Nice to see you again.
Great to be back.
Well, a thousand towns, small and large, over a couple of decades, what kind of changes have you seen in communities across the landscape during that time?
It's been huge because in 1995, when I was 94, 95, I was touring for the first time, seeing a lot of the country for the first time. And it was, now I've learned, not only were the big box stores coming in, that's what I thought I was seeing, all these shuttered down downtowns. I mean, really just ailing down, if existent downtowns. What I was also seeing besides the arrival of the big box stores was the effect that the malls had had throughout the 80s and also the simultaneous downturn of industry in the United States. So everything was going overseas. Mines were shutting down. So it was mines, factories, mills, you know, all of those things. And that's what people knew, you know, and even sort of the car factory, you know, some of the stuff that we still have. I mean, it was even bigger then. So that all sort of started to disappear in the 70s and 80s. The malls came around. The big boxes came to sort of finish the job, so you'd think. And then people actively chose to head to the green, you know, back to the town green, back to the downtowns. And, you know, you've got a ponytail, Eric. So you're probably part of the sort of fleet of people who would sort of fight from behind to, you know, keep their downtowns alive, pay the extra dollar for the coffee, and just try to frequent it in some sad way. I thought, we're not going to win. If it's just those of us who are just doing it out of some sense of chore, you know, it's not going to happen. But everybody, somehow in our brains, we choose to come back to that. And people kind of created ways to come back to the downtown robustly, actually, into the 21st century. And so I started to take little notes about what I thought were the categories of things that people were doing to do that successfully.
And within those categories, what kinds of commonalities did you find then that made for that kind of success?
The first thing that the towns, you know, actually there's no real first place to start, but the three big things I found were that there were certain spaces that were conducive to people talking to each other. And actually one of the first places was the lobby of any given venue. So somebody would, you know, literally just sweep the venue. My friend Patty's traveling with me. She remembers one of the first places I saw in Keene, New Hampshire. They renovated a theater. They didn't heat it. It's really cold. But, you know, these are some of the first places they have concerts. People would meet each other in the lobbies of the venues. So and they would just talk to each other on the CD signing line. So certain spaces are conducive, outdoor and indoor, to people kind of building acquaintanceships and the strength of weak ties, as Mark Renovetter talks about. And then there's this other thing that I noticed when people dig into the identities of their town with certain projects, like we're an apple town, we're a garlic town, we're, you know, we're a hippie town, you know, even that. I mean, if Ken Kesey lived, you know, parked his bus in your town for 3 years, then, you know, that's what happened. Your histories and the cultures that you build organically coming from inside your town or the way you welcome the outside in, those identity building projects brought people together to do other projects. So that was a big thing I would see. And then the third thing I saw was something I call translation, which is kind of a decision just to be sort of open-palmed in the world as opposed to clenched fist, but sort of in a municipal way, you know, just let's have better signs. Let's welcome people in. Let's show them where to go. Let's say, hey, have you checked out this coffee place? Yeah, you know, hey, we've got a bookstore, you know, stuff like that. That aspect of translation from everything from signs to people introducing themselves to each other at parent night, you know, at school, parent teacher night, was an infectious, a contagious, wonderful thing that begat more translation of people into the community. So those were the three things I would see what I would call successful towns doing. And that's been and it's held, you know, like I wrote it down and created these categories, and where I see those things happening, spaces, projects, and translation, those towns, you know, get over the hump of the post or mixed industrial, you know, question.
I think all that connects to one of the central themes in your book, which is this concept of positive proximity. Can you explain a little bit what that means and why that's so central to your book?
Because positive proximity is what I call the experience of living side by side and recognizing that as a constructive and mobilizing force. So instead of saying, oh, I've got neighbors, what a pain, I can't walk around naked all the time. Oh, you know, look at their dog doing this, desecrating my lawn. You know, instead of having that attitude, you say, I'm so glad I have all these neighbors around me. They're so, you know, some of them are really weird and some of them are really organized. And I get all these in my town, a hand-me-down is going to make its way. You'll see five different kids wearing your kids' clothing before it's done. You know, I'm so lucky I have the prosperity of the hand-me-downs and old ski boots and skates. That's positive proximity, that recognition that your neighbors are great. Even if you don't like them, they're just, you respect that all these contributions that people are giving. It's an ethos in the air, and it's also kind of a decision that we make, especially when there is enough positive proximity around us that we can find our role comfortably in a town. We're welcomed in. We don't have to push our, you know, we don't have to feel totally exposed at the green because it's just us who cares about a town, you know, our towns. It's other people all around us. It's the ethos.
Dar Williams, live in the KLCC studios, touring behind her new book, What I Found in 1,000 Towns, live at Tsunami Books in Eugene tonight, in a mixture of reading and singing and signing. So how does this all connect to music? And do you have a song that connects to it somehow?
Well, yeah, I wanted to play a song that has to do with the Columbia, is it called the Columbia Gorge, basically?
Yes.
Which is on fire right now. And so it's a strange thing to, you know, hopefully this homage will, you know, be a prayer for the return of the gorge in years to come. Mount St. Helens is beautiful now, you know. But my bread and butter is the beauty of this country, both in its people and its natural scenery. And then, of course, the in-between, which is our towns and cities. So I actually am dependent on the welcome and the beauty. And this is a song where I was recognizing how, even when I felt at odds, the landscapes and of this country sort of gave me the identity I have today and took me in the direction that I landed in. I guess you don't land in a direction, but you know what I mean. This is called Emerald, so Pacific Northwest.
I have come to the west, the Emerald Kingdom Highway. It's like a hero's path I'm following. I don't know what to think, what to do with myself today. Shouldn't I hear the future calling me? Under a low cloud, vanishing up through the tree line of the mountain, catching the light from the morning on a river come to life, the Grand Columbia. I've returned this time to these cascades in autumn, and for once I am unquestioning. I can see the boatmen shout over the wind and engine as the gold coin shower from aspen trees. And into the twilight, a hazy moon on the amethystine river, watching the heron lifting up and her wings spread wide as the Columbia. Unbeknownst to my pride, I had filled my memories with these hours of gold and emerald light. I can plunge my hands into all this time I've lived, and the jewels spill through my fingers. I have come to the west, to this canyon highway, and I can see a girl is passing. She is going so fast, I can hardly tell it's me. Doesn't she know that she'll be traveling under a low cloud, out of the northwest into the Rocky Mountains, across the prairies to the Appalachian rises. Now the Pennsylvania forms into the traffic of the eastern cities, into my town, onto my street, up the stairs, into my house. Grab the kids and out the back into the garden.
Dar Williams with Emerald live in the KLCC studios. She'll be live tonight at Tsunami Books touring behind her new book, What I Found in a Thousand Towns, mixing reading and singing and signing. A song about the Pacific Northwest there, and you've been around this country and so much around the world seeing all these different towns. Are there things about the Pacific Northwest that you find unique in terms of its towns as well as its landscape?
Yes, it's a real sweet spot of... you know, there's a lot of intelligence. There's a lot of gray matter at work and a lot of coffee to fuel it. And that's the big joke, you know, and there's a lot of tech wealth here, but there's something kind of young and wild about it too. And respectful of the your volcanoes and your ancient trees and, you know, of the wildness around the people who live here. And and I feel like that comes together in a sense of stewardship and joy about one's natural surroundings, but also all of those great ideas and brain power that comes from it as well. So there's always that, you know, I've been to Bend and Sisters and here in Eugene, Portland. You know, I have a friend who really does not like to get into her car and has some eye troubles and stuff and just doesn't have to and really is biophilic, really needs to be around nature. And she just finds it in Portland. And there's so many places where that green life is and that green, what we would call the green world, you know, the sort of the wild world, makes its way into her imagination all the time, even as she chooses to be very civilized. And it just creates for a very civil society and people understanding that they're team players all the time on a certain level. And then there's a lot of kind of wildness in general. There are more guns up here than in other places and stuff like that. But there's also some mix also of stewardship and guns. And, you know, there's a underlying respect for the beauty and wildness of this area. And it's very meaningful, I think.
Dar Williams here in the KLCC studios tonight at Tsunami Books, beginning at 7:30 with What I Found in a Thousand Towns. Do you have one more piece of music you want to drop in as part of this?
Sure. This is a... first of all, I just have to say I'm very excited to be at Tsunami tonight. And obviously, I'm a big supporter of... You know, bookstores have a lot of positive proximity, and they build it, and their utility is beyond the books. And everybody who's listening to the station knows that. So I'm rooting for you, Tsunami. This is a song I wrote for Sherman Alexie, for his for a movie called Smoke Signals. And this is a song that preceded my my knowledge that I was going to write this book. It comes from who I was when I was looking at all the shuttered downtowns, looking for a someplace. And the movie Smoke Signals, people are looking for a someplace too. So this is called Road Buddy.
We passed the stores, we passed the hotels, filled our car with gas, and then we drove that night. I saw the moon, almost got us in an accident. And then at the rest stop, when that woman tried to steal my wallet, it felt like an adventure. Isn't that what you would call it? Isn't that what you would call it? Well, you're my road buddy. But I'm lonely all the time. I thought that we'd be laughing, having long talks on late night driving. But you drive so bad I lost my patience. So pass the chips and turn the station. This is not a romance with the road. Oh no. From where the moss grows up the trees to where the dirt is rusty red, I thought we'd find each story like a snake skin or an arrowhead. But we only stop at fast food places. They hate the jobs, I understand. I try to act familiar, but they're floating just above the land. And we are floating. And you're my road buddy. But I'm lonely all the time. I thought we'd show the friendship could be stronger than the crossroads devil. But I thought I heard the tall man say, I'll take that thing you got from praying. This is not a romance with the road. And those cliffs are the same as in the magazines I had at home. And the tall grass reminds me of the same dreams I had at home. I thought life was a road and I wanted to. I said my friend and I are going on a trip, so I can only stop a minute. Well, yeah, you go to the vending machines. I want to watch these kids with their mother sipping on their juice boxes and smiling at each other. And yeah, maybe that's their dad on the phone saying, hey mom, you shouldn't wait, go ahead, have dinner, but we're running just a little late. But we're on our way. Well, how about it, road buddy? Yeah. I heard about the boxcars and the family of travelers, but there's real estate signs in the cornfield stubble. I know there's love, I bet there's trouble, but you just can't spend a lifetime from the road. And there's something I finally faced. Finally think I come from someplace. This is not a romance with the road. Oh no.
Star Williams with Road Buddy in the KLCC studios. She'll be live tonight at Tsunami Books in Eugene, beginning at 7:30, touring behind her new book, What I Found in a Thousand Towns, all of her observations from all these years of touring about what makes communities thrive. For more information on the event, including to see if tickets are available still, there weren't that many left last I knew, tsunamibooks.org, 541-345-8986. Also see darwilliams.com. Well, Dar, in about the 1.5 minutes we have left, if there's anything you wanted us to take away from this book as to what we can do in practical terms to make our communities thrive, is there one specific thing?
Yes, I have a motto that's come out of this, which is to think in bridges. And, you know, we are actually great at creating bonds with people that are in our clubs and our congregations. And when we, and I learned this from Robert Putnam, I lifted this, but I've seen it in practice. When congregations talk to other congregations, when we bridge into the communities, when we bridge our skill sets with other skill sets, our wealth with people who have more time than money, say, absolutely, when we do intergenerational things, you know, retired citizens are the gold of community. So finding ways to bridge into finding the respect and pulling their resources, that's when we thrive, not just as, you know, one group over another, but as true communities. And that's when you see the flowers growing very big and tall and bright.
Well, thank you for being such a part of that thriving across the country and for all that you bring with your music and your writing and your observation. It's been nice to have you back in the studios with us again.
Thanks. Nice to see you again.
Dar Williams in the KLCC studios.